There you go. Very good evening to you out there. We almost got started ahead of time tonight, believe it or not. Hopefully Bree is on the line. She got the message loud and clear. You're listening to Terrace Talk, Donal Barry, here until 8 o'clock this evening. And it's a show that's going to feature the Bonsecours Intermediate and Senior Football Championship winners, Rathmore and Finnoog St. Sennans. Bolham collected silverware there yesterday in Ossensack Park. In the double header, and an exciting day out as well for Leeds football in Ossensack Park. Great to see it. And of course, we're going to chat to some of the players and the managers and the chairpersons of both clubs over the hour. We'll have Breed O'Shea from Radio Kerry, of course, resident pundit on Leeds football. She'll join us presently to look back at the senior final, and we might bounce a question or two off her for the intermediate final as well. And then in the second hour this evening, we'll check in with the organisers of Training with the Stars, the unique opportunity, of course, to train with senior inter-county players, club superstars as well, while supporting a great cause, of course, with our friends out there in St. Francis Special School in Beaufort. And of course, we'll be joined by Micheál Burns, Cuiva Evans and Fionnán O'Sullivan, all the Kerry Stars, and of course in football, Leeds football and hurling, as well as Jean O'Sullivan, the main force behind the event. I think she's a two-sist woman as well. I can check that with Breed as well, maybe. And then later on, we'll have Ireland's biggest rugby fan, Mike Milner. He'll be back with us again, bringing all the gossip from last Saturday's win for Ireland in Paris there in the Rugby World Cup. You never know, he might even have a spare ticket or two for the All Blacks game, or he might even sell his ticket, you never know. So listen, get in contact with us, call us 0667123666. Ivan is on the phone tonight, or text us on 083 300 3300, also on WhatsApp there as well, with a comment or a question, or maybe you just want to wish Rathmore, Finnoog, St. Sennans congratulations, because it was a historic day, particularly for Finnoog, St. Sennans, of course, winning their first senior championship, and really coming along that road. Remember a couple of years ago, well, maybe 10 years plus now, they're winning a Junior B, but it's nice to get to the other end of the tunnel as well. And maybe you know something in the crowd yesterday, maybe you were watching the game, you said, wow, what's that about? But one person that was certainly watching the match yesterday and is always in the crowd, I think, when there's a little football match going on, is Breed O'Shea. I'm delighted to have Breed on the phone. Breed, last year's senior final was a real classic, but there was a feeling that Finnoog St. Sennans let it slip really late on that game, and of course eventually they lost out, remember the free kicks and the whole lot, but this time they got the job done fairly well, fairly professionally.
Yeah, they did. They came with a game plan, and you could see that they stuck to the game plan. And look, I know it wasn't, yes, Southern Gales did have their misses, and that played into Finnoog St. Sennans' hands as well, but no, they saw out the game, they marshalled, they knew what their job was. Southern Gales, on the other hand, they seemed to be trying to rush and seemed to be constantly looking for that goal, that maybe if they'd taken a few more of their points, it would have been a lot tighter. But like, all credit to Finnoog St. Sennans. I do believe, I could be corrected on this, you can ask the chairman later on, I think it's only 2 years ago that they actually won the intermediate. So yeah, to turn around in 2 years time to win a county title, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they shocked Castle Island that day, actually, to be fair, to it over in Fitzgerald Stadium. Come here, Breda, the game itself, the impact of the early goal by Mary McKeefe, I mean, Southern Gales were kind of chasing the game nearly as good as that goal that went in, and then of course they got sucker punched just before half time as well.
Yeah, definitely, and it was an excellent goal, but Mary McKeefe did well when she did win possession and she turned her player and took on, and you could see as soon as she had turned the Southern Gales defender that she was going for goal, but it was the work that was done before that by Patrice Diggin coming out of defence that set it up nicely for her. And Finnoog St. Sennans always looked that bit more threatening. They seemed to move the ball that bit faster than Southern Gales did, that they let it in fast and let the forwards inside do their job. Southern Gales seemed to slow it up a tiny bit. Yes, if you look back on the game in that first 15 minutes, Southern Gales probably had, I would easily say, 75% of the possession, but that did not convert onto the scoreboard, and that's what counts.
Absolutely, and finishing up slower than the scoreboard. Come here, the impact of she for O'Shea, I mean, obviously for Southern Gales, I mean, you saw it this year with Kerry, you know, she's an inter-county player of immense quality and ability. The loss on the club of a girl with she for O'Shea has to be huge.
Yeah, it is huge, and but look, you can look at both sides of that. Of course, it's a big loss to Southern Gales. It was a big loss to Kerry as well in that All-Ireland final. But they've played the whole campaign without her, so it's not as if they just lost her coming up to the final. So they should have had their plans in place as to who was taking on what. They seemed to be a bit unsure up in the forwards, and then as well, look, sometimes you do need the rub of the green and that bit of luck. I have never watched a game where a team has hit the woodwork as much as Southern Gales did yesterday. I think they hit the stanchion, they hit the butt of the post, and they hit the crossbar maybe at least two or three times.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, they're going for three in a row, something they never achieved, actually, with all the wins. Plenty two in a row, but never got the three in a row.
You don't know how these things affect players in their mind. Southern Gales, they are a young enough team. So, like, they will be there thereabouts again next year, and they are formidable. There's players on that team that are formidable. Anna Galvin had a great game yesterday. Rachel Dwyer, she was just unlucky in some of her shots that they came back off the post, or the one shot where she was in on goal that you thought she was going to bury it, it actually hit the top corner between the post and the crossbar and came back out. I've actually never seen a player hit it there. But, so... on another day, shots like that would go in.
Yeah.
And it would have a different perspective on the game.
Yeah, to be fair to Finnoog St Sennans, I mean, you referenced this there at the start of the conversation, you know, they got their intermediate win, they moved up to senior, they've competed, they got to the final last year. Effectively, they had one hand on the cup last year. You know, it was just in the last minute or two they kind of gave away a goal with extra time, and then of course they went to the freeze. Making the step up from here, Breda, I mean, an awful lot of clubs, Southern Gales, and I suppose Rathmore to an extent previously. You're going into the Munster Championship now. Have Finnoog St Sennans got a little bit more on the experience side, because some of their players are top quality, yeah, inter-county Camogie players. Will that be a huge benefit to this team to head into Munster, yes, knowing that they've travelled this path?
Yeah, definitely. It does. It's that experience that it's not even, you don't even say the nerves, that they've done it. They've travelled, be it for Kerry Ladies or Camogie, because like you've Lise Galvin and Niamh Carmody on that team as well. Like, so regardless of whether it's for Camogie or Ladies football, they're used to travelling up to Cork to play a game. They're used to travelling up to Monaghan, even if you go with the ladies football, mm-hmm, or up to Offaly with the hurling, with the Camogie. So there's an element of that they're already used to that. And you could see that yesterday with the bit of experience in the fact of that as soon as Southern Gales did bring it back level just before half time, they had got over the sucker punch of the first goal, they had worked it, they had missed a few shots on goal themselves and had still brought it back level, and you thought, yes, we're in with a shot here now. But then they hit with the second goal, and you could see that they didn't panic. They didn't pull everybody back all of a sudden. I know when we were doing the commentary, Tim was worried that Jackie Horgan would come too far out, whereas I maintained that no, she was better off staying inside, because you already had Louise Galvin and Niamh Carmody outside her, well able to carry the ball and well able to give her a good ball in. And that's what worked out. Like, Jackie ended up with 4 points from play and won a free as well. So and two of those points towards the end, they were just those insurance points that I think at one stage the Southern Gales were coming back at them and had it back to a 2 point game, and all of a sudden Jackie put over 2 points that put it back to a 4 point game and just made it that bit more easier for them. Instead of trying to rush things, Finnoog St Sennans seemed a bit more calmer and relaxed on the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a quick word before we finish up on the Rathmore game. Of course, Rathmore winning the intermediate, beating, I suppose, their neighbours of sorts over in Scartaglen. Daniel Leary hitting the headlines again. We just got 1-4, 1-5 on the day. Good team performance all the way through, but a vital enough win for Rathmore to get back up to senior again.
Yeah, look, they wanted to come back up again. I have to, hand on heart, I was listening to Tim driving over in the car. I didn't actually get to watch the game because I had to attend a game back in Iries for my daughter first. So,
you were dead right. So that's the most important game of them all yesterday.
Well, they unfortunately lost in the Bear League. So congratulations to Garnish. They beat them in the under 10 competition against Tussist. But no, they'll be back next year. It's all right.
Under 10's a big age. But for Rathmore, it was vital for them to get back up pretty quickly, I'd imagine.
It was vital for them to get back up, because Rathmore have, and we've, even the Kerry Ladies team have always had a couple of players coming in from Rathmore. And so we need it to be competitive. We need the county scene to be competitive for the next step up then to our Kerry Ladies county team. Mm-hmm. So if the county championship isn't competitive, if you have the same names at the same time all the time, you're not seeing the fresh people coming in. You're not seeing that, oh, well, we could actually do this. Other clubs now can look at Finnoog and St Sennans and go, do you know, lads, if we put our heads down, we could actually do this. And like even for the likes of Scarta Glen, they're a small area, even in the men's terms, they'd be considered a small club. For Scarta Glen to get to an intermediate final yesterday, when I was listening to the radio and I heard Mags Fitzgerald inside in the goal, I went, oh my gosh, she's still there. But no, fair play to her, like, and to get to an intermediate final for your club, it's an amazing achievement. Yeah. So Rathmore, they have been up in senior before, they know what it's about. Can they make the step up and stay in senior? That's what we have to wait and see next year if they can. But of course, Danielle O'Leary showed her pedigree yesterday, and she was just that, I think, step up above maybe the rest, and maybe that's what will push others on to try and copy her.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, thanks very much, Breda. And of course, before we have the whole Scarta Glen after you, it's their second final, they lost last year to Crokes as well. So they'll be knocking at that door.
I missed all last year's championship. I do apologise.
No, you're fine. They're knocking on the door, and they're a big club. And they got fairly close, you know, to be fair to them. And look, they'll rise again.
By all accounts, it was a great game, a very tight game. So if they keep a knocking, it took Meath 3 times to win the Intermediate All-Ireland, and look where they ended up afterwards.
Absolutely, nearly a superpower. Listen, Breda, thanks very much. After the break, we will actually talk to a lot of Rathmore people. We'll catch up with Jodie Sullivan there. She is the chairperson, and hopefully we'll have Amy Murphy and Kieran O'Mahony as well. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk here with Donald Berry, and of course we are chatting all things ladies football. Of course yesterday a great day for the Rathmore Parish, of course winning the Intermediate Championship there and getting back up to senior level. Delighted to have Jodie Sullivan on now. She's the chairperson of the club. Jodie, I presume you're still celebrating.
Yes, Donald. Well, they're all still out and it's all still, the celebrations are still ongoing in fairness. I'm sorry, you have to excuse me now, my voice is nearly gone after last night. Kimiri, thanks for having me on as well. They're delighted, they're thrilled, and you know what, I'm so happy for them this year, really. You know, it was a hard year, got off to a bad start, but we finished well, so it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I suppose, Jodie, in many ways, you know, when you start with a hard year to test the character of the club and the players and I suppose the management at times and the whole lot, and I suppose at different stages the jigsaw gets put back together, but to have the cup, to have the win, and I suppose to have the confidence in the players to be stepping back up again, you know, where they possibly want to be, knowing that they're champions as well, I mean, that all augurs pretty well for the club.
Yeah, it's great. Like, I must say, like, we had 11 junior players come up from last year to intermediate level. So that's more or less why we had to drop down intermediate, because senior, we wouldn't have had a team. We had to pull out last year because we couldn't field the team. So it was just a balance for both. So a lot, like, on that panel yesterday, we had 11 juniors. And, like, they gave it everything this year. You know, one, you know, let's say from, I'd say, number 1 to 28, like, every one of them put in so much effort. So, you know, they were so dedicated. So it is great to come out at the other end, like, especially, like, you know, against Scarta Glen. It was such a tough game. We kind of knew, really, that they were always going to be probably in the final, you know. They were a great team, like, and to be honest, it could have went either way. So we're just delighted to get the win, really, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, they didn't nearly go all the way down to the wire. I mean, nothing could separate you in the first half. There was a quick couple of minutes in the second half where you got a couple of points on them and kind of maybe pushed ahead a small bit. But all eyes and all, I suppose, a lot of the conversation today, of course, about your inter-county player, Danielle O'Leary. The goal and the scores and the points and the whole lot. What's it like to have a quality player like her in that squad with you and the amount of advice that she can help and obviously the player that she is?
She's remarkable, really. She's such a, you know, she's a county player, but she loves her club so much. You know, it's great to see, even for the underage, like, they really do look up to her. And to be honest, like, she's been there all the way with the girls through every match, the Donal Curtin Cup. She's gone to everything herself, and Mary Collins, really. They've supported the girls so much all year. And I know they're only in, like, for the championship, but, like, It's a great boost to the girls then to have them back, like, and I mean, she's remarkable. But, like, we have, I mean, there's so much talent now going forward for this club, let's say, for next year, you know, being senior. And I suppose the biggest boost for us this year was we beat the Crokes and we stayed up at Division 1. I suppose up until that point, we weren't sure how well we were going, you know. You know, could we do it? And that was, that gave us the extra confidence, and I think it kind of grew from there. So yeah, it's just great, you know. We're so happy, we're so delighted, really, just to get over the line, really. Yeah,
absolutely. And of course, you have to start playing now fairly shortly, Jodie, because there's a small trip to Munster.
Yeah, it's all happening really quickly. Like, I mean, the girls, they've had, is it 9 games in a row, I think, so far. Like, you know, it's a lot. But I know, yeah, it's, yeah, Milton Ballet Bay, next Sunday at 2 o'clock. So, yeah, so I suppose we didn't want to look ahead of ourselves. We were focused on the county. So, look, we'll just, you know, the girls are going to give it everything. You know, same as every week they've gone out there and they gave, you know, 110%. So that's what I expect of them. I know they will.
Absolutely. You know. One of those girls, of course, was Amy Murphy. Amy kept a clean sheet yesterday. Amy, how are things? How's the head and the hens and the safe hens, I suppose?
How are you?
That's well.
Yes. Saying that now, it was all down to my back. They were great. There was no threat.
Yeah.
Certain goals, because they kept it out.
Come here. It's something that I'm always interested with players. You know, you get to a final, nobody really sees the amount of effort that you put in, other than maybe your friends and your family and your managers and the players around you. You get to the final, but that final whistle, what's that final whistle like when you know the war is over, we've won this game? Can you describe the feelings for yourself and your teammates when you heard that final whistle yesterday and you knew you were on the right side of it?
I didn't believe the whistle was gone, I'd say, for about 2 hours, because the adrenaline was still pumping, if I'm honest. But, yeah, I took a moment and just looked around, and I see all the girls were jumping and stuff. So, I mean, I couldn't wait. I think I kept asking the umpire, when was it up? When is he going to blow the whistle? But we were thrilled to get over the line.
Yeah. And come here, it's a magic moment in a sense, because I suppose it's the journey with the friends and the family. What was it like to go back to Rathmore yesterday evening? I mean, you're great people for lighting bonfires for every occasion, but you had a massive occasion last night to light them. What's it like sharing that in the village and around, I suppose, around the hinterland of Rathmore? And what are the WhatsApp messages like, or are people ringing you from New York and saying congratulations, has the news got there yet and all that? What's all that like for the club?
Oh, look, that's massive. Just coming home in the bus, taking that moment in with your friends on the bus, looking out the window, seeing the support everyone had for us was just phenomenal. I just had to do a bit of box breathing, I think, when I came in, just to see the bonfire and everyone was cheering. I mean, that's the moment you'll treasure forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's.
And there's a great sense of pride in the community and a sense of belonging, and I suppose you're there. But obviously you worked pretty hard through the year to get to a final and the whole lot. Maybe outline some of the length of time you went training and the amount of effort you put in and the numbers at training and all that, maybe.
Oh, yeah, this year has been great. I mean, the numbers have been brilliant at training. You know, you get to do more stuff and you get to train a little bit harder. Great numbers to training.
Yeah, we'll check it with the next man there as well. I think we have Kieran O'Mahony, the manager, on the line as well. Kieran, congratulations, first of all. Are you around getting them all out and ready for next week, or are they entitled to enjoy a night or two with this celebration?
Do you know, I think they're still out, as far as I know, but I spoke to Seamus Cooper. He's in our management team. You know, he led Rathmore back in 1999 to a junior and on to 2000 intermediates, 1998, 1999. And I said that to him yesterday evening. He said, Kieran, he said, will you give him Sunday and Monday? So I he's the wise man in our management team, and I left it alone after that then.
Yeah. Tuesday be pushing it, wouldn't it?
But you know, it's been very special, Donald. I remember when we started, there was 6 of training and we finished up with 28. But Rathmore LGFA, you know, has been in the go since, you know, with many years. But the last couple of years, we've taken a bit of dip, and like, people have immigrated, people got injured. And, you know, when we came in, we just wanted to, I suppose, you know what, we wanted to give everything to the girls, just to let them know, you know, that everyone was behind them. And even down to Kieran Keith, and like you spoke to Jodie there, she has been unbelievable to us. And even Kieran Keefe, our chairman, Rathmore GAA, has been exceptional as well, and they all got behind us. And you know, that I think yesterday that got us over the line, Dohan.
Mm-hmm. I was over in Rathmore yesterday, basketball, and the basketball had to be finished fairly early because I'd say everybody after Mass was heading only to Tralee. What's it like to see that support translate maybe from the men's world into the ladies' world, and to see Rathmore supporters all over the place in Austin Stack Park? I mean, flags, bunting, sound, noise, it's the perfect venue for a final, it's the deserving venue for a final as well, and it was a deserving final as well. I mean, it was an exciting game all the way through, and Scar didn't give it to you for free, which is probably what you always want as a neutral, but to see the Rathmore crowd embrace this team, that has to be a little bit special.
Yeah, it was, and you know, even starting off down to the groundsmen in Tralee, like the pitch was immaculate, like, and I said it on Saturday to John Drummy, you know, for Radio Kerry even to be putting these games live is massive for ladies football, and like, and you know, Dawn, you've been involved in the ladies years, it has come on so much, and you know, I got involved like many years ago with like Sabreed and Aoife Sinead, mm-hmm. were there when my daughter Megan was playing, and Danielle and of course Mary Collins were there, and I've seen the transformation that has gone on over the last couple of years. And if you saw even the build-up to the All-Ireland this year with Kerry, it's been phenomenal. Like, and it's lovely to see the girls get the recognition. And, you know, it's Kerry football is on the up big time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. God, you'll be putting yourself under massive pressure. Come here, a trip to Clare. Have you ever been to Milltown Melby at the best of times? It's probably on the calendar, and obviously you'll sit down and you'll think about the whole lot. It's nice to have that experience of heading to Munster as well, which you've done before, yeah, obviously with the seniors at different levels, but with this particular group of players who've travelled this particular journey.
Yeah, and I suppose for us, you know, and Jory spoke about that close game, it was a Division 1 relegation playoff, and even, you know, when we came in, myself and Patrick Monson, Jamie Crowden and Seamus Cooper, we weren't sure maybe where they were at or where we were at, and I think something just turned that night when we won that game, and I suppose it was all about for the girls just to believe in us, do you know what I mean? And you know, Danielle O'Reilly obviously is a special talent, but I thought Mary Collins yesterday who was phenomenal. Jesus, what she did in the game was unbelievable. Amy Murphy in goal, Sarah Murphy, Chloe Fitzgerald, and you know, don't Aoife Sinead, the man, these twins all over the field, and I said this to the girls before we went out, it was a collective effort and it had to be from 1 to 28 to get over the line, and like even from 16 to 28 the work they do, the organising they do and the help they give us, and like I suppose Milltown Melby, it's a bonus for us. We'll look at it tomorrow morning, you know, we'll sit down as a management group and we'll have a think about it, but you know, today is just about, you know, realising what we're just after achieving, and I'm just delighted with the girls because everything we asked of them done, they were exceptional, to be fair to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Kieran, thanks very much. Amy, fair play to you as well, and Jody O'Sullivan. It's great because that Rathmore journey, I suppose, has had many ups and downs. I can remember you entering 20 years ago at under 12, and to say that you had loads of troops would be a lie. You hardly had it, and my good old friend Noor out there was herding them all up and chasing them all around, and plenty more with her at the time as well. And you've travelled that journey, and I suppose in many ways, like, you hit the top of the mountain and you've kind of come down a bit, but you're on the rise again, and I suppose ladies football needs strong clubs, and Rathmore has the potential to be a strong club again. Listen, enjoy your celebrations, congratulations, and we'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're listening to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry, Donal Barry, with you until 8 o'clock this evening, and we are looking back at, well, so we're looking back at a really special day for ladies football in Austin Stack Park. First of all, yesterday, doubleheader, intermediate and senior championship finals. And we're just after checking out with what happened with Rathmore, and they're delighted with their cup. But I can imagine that the crack in North Kerry must be even higher because for the first time, they are senior ladies football champions. Congratulations, Finnug St. Sennes. Tom Dalton, I presume you will be chairman for life now based on this, will you?
And they win championships. I'd not have thought the first of all.
You're looking for four in a row, is it? Before
four in a row.
Four in a row.
And
Come here, Tom. Much like I said to Jody, I mean, the final whistle goes. It's a special moment because it's a long journey. And for Finnoog St. Sennans, I mean, to be fair, you were very close last year. I mean, particularly with time nearly up in normal time, he had one hand in the cup, then the goal went in, then he lost a point, then he lost on the points. What's it like to build up from that disappointment and live all the way through this year and then get to the top of the mountain this year and deserving winners with it?
Yeah, it was very sad last year. We even free kicks at the end, we didn't even know about them. But we came from Blue, and then they said they'd started off, and you know, they started off training, and they said they'd give one good hit at this year. And so, like, we have the Camogie girls and the Kerry football girls, so they were kind of fit as they were, you know, and their fitness when they came back, it rose the club.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. The game yesterday started off Miriam O'Keefe's goal. Did you jump up for that one?
I did. I'm known for jumping up.
Good stuff. And you jumped into the field after as well. What was it like after? I mean, the final whistle goes. I mean, look, Finnoog St. Sennans. I mean, you're a United troop out there on both sides of the road at that club, I suppose. And you have a couple of other North Kerry people in with you as well, but it's a real united front. But what's it like to share that with all those?
Oh, it was brilliant. It was brilliant for the underage and for the ones, the old people from that were there. It was like we won, like Kerry winning the All-Ireland. It was even better than that.
Yeah.
No, these girls put in every effort for the last few years in with it. Like, they're going from the start of the year with Camogie, Kerry football, all the way to now, like, they've some time put in. It was brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of those who I remember going with the Camogie, of course, is Sarah Murphy. Sarah, congratulations. It must be a fantastic feeling, you know, to know that you're, I suppose, in fairness, such a successful and fantastic hurler, but you're a dual player of note now, having lifted this cup as well.
Hi, Donald. Yeah, look, thanks for having us on, and yeah, look, it's great. It's a privilege to captain the team. They could have picked anyone on the panel to lead the team out yesterday. But look, at the end of the day, it's about the whole panel, and we're delighted. We're enjoying celebrations now today and yesterday. So look, it's a great day for Finnoog St. Sennans. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How difficult was it after last year's final? I mean, the heartbreak of last year's final must have been gut wrenching, particularly the way it went. And for people that don't understand, it was a winner on the day, and he lost out in the free kicks and the whole lot. To go from there, I mean, there must have been a tough couple of weeks directly after that.
Yeah, look, last year was, I suppose, extraordinary to deal with. Like, it's not every day that a final ends that way. It's hard to prepare for. I suppose, thinking back on it, it probably took us, I know personally, it took me a few weeks, I suppose, to get over the loss. But I'm sure the rest of the panel are the same. It was difficult to lose just on one kick of the ball when we were so even all along. So, like, to be honest, it made this year's win even sweeter, and we really, really appreciate, like, how lucky we are now today, celebrating and enjoying the memories we were making.
And of course, I said to Amy Murphy earlier from Rathmore, I mean, like, people don't really understand. I mean, with some football clubs, I mean, you're in the face of, I suppose, fierce, I suppose the wind is blowing against you all the time, to be fair, and you know, you have to balance out the Camogie with the football and the whole lot. But to get everything near perfect, I mean, that must be an extraordinary effort, and there must be extraordinary cooperation to get all that on in the calendar at one time. I mean, you must be going week from week from week playing, are you?
Yeah, look, I suppose there's a handful of us here playing Camogie, but at the end of the day, I suppose we love playing football with Finnoog St. Sennans, and we're all the one. There's no Camogie gang and there's no football gang, we're all the one. And I suppose when we can put on the Finnoog St. Sennans jersey and go out and represent the club, it's a great day. And look, obviously, yeah, there's great organising in it, and there's a great committee in the club, and there's great management there as well. So I suppose we've managed it so far anyway. Thankfully, it worked out for us this year. And look, we're delighted to have the cup today now.
Yeah. Miriam O'Keefe, she only barely made her way onto the team, Sarah, did she?
Miriam. Oh, yeah. She's a doctor, really.
I know what she's doing.
Real doctor.
Come here, Miriam. I remember you being on the Kerry Minor team and the whole lot, and the one thing you always had was your a lot of head of hair, and you had a lethal left leg. You used that left leg a couple of times yesterday. Two great goals.
Yeah, Joey, it was brilliant. We just knew yesterday, Dawn, that we had to work very hard to come out with any bit of a win against Southern Gaels. They're such a good team, but I just think we had that mentality yesterday that we needed to work extremely hard, no matter who scored, just get the score. So I think that was the main thing anyway. Whoever scored doesn't really matter. Yeah,
I suppose in the build up to the final, I mean, people looking at Southern Gaels, they're looking at Finnoog since, and it's amazing how the two teams have become kind of dominant in the last couple of years. And obviously, I mean, dominant in the fact that you were in the final last year and you were moving up from intermediate the year before. But you can go back a bit and you can remember them when you weren't that dominant. I remember, I think Johnny Jai and was it Tim Kennelly or something, you were winning junior B's at nearly half nine at night inside in some backfield with a bit of a light or something at that stage. But to go from that journey to where you are at the moment, Miriam, I mean, it must be nice to be a member all the way through.
Oh, definitely. Like, you can really see how the team has grown and evolved, John, but it makes it easier when there's such a good group of girls there. And then when you get on with your managers and teammates, it just makes it so much easier. So it's that kind of journey I think we've been on, is that we're such a group together, and even the whole community, even yesterday, seeing all the little girls there, it was amazing for ladies football. I think for Knockery, and it's after wonders. So it's great to see that it has evolved. It's just amazing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course, much like the Rathmore gang, I mean, it's a journey that primarily it's friends and families kind of see first. I mean, more supporters arrive later to the scene and the whole lot, and that's just the way it goes. The more successful you get, more people kind of follow you and travel. But for those people who driven you to matches and, you know, all the disappointments that you had at various levels, you go home and they're the people that, I suppose, they listen to you and they talk to you and they say, look, it's grand or whatever it is, even sometimes when players are probably harder on themselves than they should. What's it like for those people to share in that reward yesterday? Because obviously the players in the field, they get the reward, they get their medal. But for all the people and all the sacrifices and all the people within the club and even the people that are trained under 12s and 14s and all that, what's it like to share it with all those people?
Oh, it's amazing. Just even yesterday seeing the underage trainers, like, they were just so happy. And even like that, like you referred to family and stuff like that, it was just lovely to see all our family and friends and partners and everything there. It was amazing. Like that, they're with us in good and bad times, and like that, hopefully now it's on the upward scale, so there'll be no more bad days, hopefully.
all good days ahead. Stay on the line there and keep Sarah close to you, but I'm going to talk to John Quilter. John, congratulations first of all.
Thank you.
To manage any team to win a county championship, regardless whether it is under 12 or boys or handball or whatever it is, but to win with this special group, I mean, that in itself, John, is a fantastic achievement, and it's probably down to great work that you've done and your management committee and maybe all the people that went before you as well. But what's it like to be the person that led them over the line, maybe?
There's a loaded question now. That's
very loaded. I was being very critical, Craig.
You did, right. It started with Johnny Joy and Johnny Hogan came afterwards. Seamus Stack started the club back in 2007 and stuff. And it's just, honestly, I just took it over for a training session 6 years ago, and I did one session and I'm still here. They couldn't get rid of me. They're an amazing bunch, and that's the only reason I stayed involved. We got the intermediate in 3 years ago, and it just flowed from there. We kind of knew straight away it was a pinnacle, but we straight away kind of went, I wonder, could we step it up one more? And look, that's why we did it, to be honest. These players do not know what the word give up is. They don't do injuries, they don't do giving out, they just want to win. And they have the crack as well, and we're all inside in Kilflin with the County Hurling Championship Cup as well beside us, and it's really good that we have the hurling and the football, the two most important ones, in the same place. So we're having a great old season, to be honest. But all the people that go with us, I'm only the name on the piece of paper. Like, it's Joe and Johnny and Liz and John Barry that came in with us, and we did add a few more. Aline came in, and we added a good bit this year just to try and give it a bit of a change. So that's really it. We just said we'd have one more crack at it and see could we get over the line. We wasn't too far away before, but we'll give up last year for this year.
Yeah. Was there any truth in the rumour that Liz Houlihan was going to tug out yesterday if she was needed?
You know what, actually, we bought an extra jersey, a larger size, just in case, because she has been known for putting on a jersey when she's nearly due. So, in fairness, we had a jersey just in case we needed her.
Fair play. I remember Liz, I suppose from the black and white days, Liz, inside in Tralee IT as well. She was always a good selector. Rightly mentioned Seamus Deck, obviously, because I remember Seamus Deck and Johnny Horgan on that journey as well. I remember Seamus Deck actually last year with the freeze. He could hardly sit still at all. They weren't going the right way for him anyway. But for all those who that travel that journey, it's huge. John, the journey doesn't end here, of course. It only begins. We were joking, I suppose, earlier with the Rathmore gang that you won't have much time for race. You get a little bit longer than they might get heading into Munster. It's a journey you've travelled before. You went down to Cork at intermediate level, and you had a tough enough outing down there that day. I don't know, did Miriam go missing there for 10 minutes, and maybe Louise went with her for a while as well. But learning the lessons that you are now heading into Munster, is it something that you're going to say, listen, we'll have one right go at it?
Look, do you know, we actually spoke about it already, because these girls, the first thing is we're at home for it, so it's really important we put on a show for all the fans and the community and the kids that we went over to Dunkirk today and stuff. We need to show the best of ourselves. We're under no illusions that we're absolutely up against it. But like you said, we went to Clonakilty 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now, after the intermediate. The lads went to the Junior A Munster final a couple of years before that, and I suppose teams didn't go their way. We're a bit like the hunters here in Crossing Out behind the Park, that we're going to give it an absolute go, because they don't go out in the field for the crack. They do, but they go out to win as well. So we will be giving it a go.
Yeah.
We'll do our best to represent Kerry. They've never not represented their club and their county with the highest distinction, all of them. I think most of them have played at some level. So, you know, we'll do our best in 3 weeks' time on Sunday morning. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic, because I remember a couple of years ago you hosted Kerry versus Armagh above there, and God almighty, you had food and sandwiches and every sort of stuff, and you had everything looking well, and you had people parking cars officially the right way and everything. It is a special day for the club, and I think it's not only is it going to be a special day for the club, but I mean every Kerry ladies supporter should get up and see it. And of course it's the winners of the Waterford and the Tipperary champions, and you're right, having it home, it's another special journey. Tom Dalton, are you still on the line?
Yeah.
Good man. You know now you'll have to spend a few bob now and get the checkbook out if you're hosting one of these Munster games. Like, it could be a costly event.
There's plenty of money there.
Fair
thing. No, I think the community and all our sponsors all got in well there just for to keep the club going.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, sponsors are hugely important, and plenty of them out there. Tom, a general question away from the win yesterday. The state of the club out there, I mean, have you loads of 12s and 14s and loads of trainers? And give us an oversnap of it, because some of the comments coming in here this evening, Finuig St. Sennans, in the ladies' sense, you're united, but we've got a comment here saying, are you sure they're really united? They're two separate clubs, but obviously in the ladies' you are. But give us an oversight into the club, maybe, Tom.
Oh yeah, we're our own club now. It's Finuig St. Sennans and Finuig are separate, but we use Finuig's pitch and we use Sennans pitch all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we use Lixnair or Crossy pitch as well, but it was mainly Sennans and Finuig. But we've about 120 younger players from under 8 up to under 16, and we hope to have a minor team next year. We ended in minor team in a long time.
Yeah, of course, the minors are a difficult age to get them. Of course, they're dropping out at 16.
You lose. Yeah, it's hard. And we've lots of coaches. They're all standing up now. We've
from under 8s up to under 16s. We have plenty coaches, and we have Joe Flaherty, and in the committee with Joe Flaherty, and we have Imelak and Conn O'Donnell and Katrina there, our midfielder, fantastic for the team. She's in the
she double jobs, does she?
Oh, she's the one, the main force, that she, whatever she does, we all have to do.
Absolutely.
And Imelak, of course, as well.
Fair play. Come here, Sarah Murphy, one question before I touch, poor Sarah Touch was finished, of course. A lot of the girls have done the journey with you. I mean, obviously we referenced earlier the Camogie, and obviously it's a united bunch and the whole lot. From here on in, I mean, are you, I suppose, looking at, we mentioned it with John Quilter, he kind of said that he had a little bit of a chat already, I presume, official or unofficial, but looking at the Munster journey, it's a journey that yourself and some of your Camogie colleagues have travelled with Clonmorris as well, very successfully all the way through and all the way up along there. Will you draw on that experience now, do you reckon, particularly with the football one? And obviously you've been in the football one, obviously, because as I said, you've been in the Junior A final a couple of years ago, you were in the intermediates, first round game against Cork there a couple of years ago down in West Cork somewhere. Will you draw on all that experience, Siri, to help you?
Yeah, I don't look, I suppose it's only natural that we draw on our experience to date, and I suppose obviously the Camogie Wales, we've had a lot of good days, I suppose, on Munster, but also bad days, and similar to the Fianna Fáil Tennis Club, like you said there, we went to Munster Junior and unfortunately got beaten in the final a couple of years ago, but there's still a lot of the girls on this current panel that were involved on that day, and I suppose they know what it means, I suppose, for both the club, the community and the county to represent Kerry. So like, there's a great mix of youth and experience in our panel this year, and I suppose thankfully look, it came to fruition yesterday and we had a good balance of it, so hopefully going forward we'll give it a good go in the Munster. We'll try our best.
Absolutely. And can you go home and show off the medal to your brother, can you?
I will. I'll go out there to present to them. The two of them were forced me yesterday, yeah, but I'll be shining the cup now and putting it up in the mantelpiece. yeah, but they were there as well supporting yesterday.
Yeah. Miriam O'Keefe is still with us, of course, and as I said, the main sit of the team for a number of years. How long are you with him now, Miriam? How long are we going into the 8 or 10 year territory, or are we going even longer?
Yeah, definitely, I suppose, 10 or 12 years anyway. Because I think it was 2011 when they won the Junior C.
Yeah.
And I think from there in 2016 we won the Junior B. And then every year from then we've kind of, well, not every year, but like most years we've come up a division. So yeah, definitely, my God, you're showing my age. But it was definitely 10 or plus years, yeah.
Yeah. Go back to the 2011s and maybe chart, I suppose, the progress made then. I mentioned Seamus Stack at the start. I remember Seamus Stack back in the day. I was coming into the county boards and fighting really hard for, I suppose, a fledgling club at the time, Fionnuala St. Sennans, and kind of saying, you know, give us a chance. If you just give us a chance, we can do something special out here. Give us a chance, you know, get us into games, get us maybe graded at the right division, get us competitive, getting us maybe winning a game or two so we stay interested. But, you know, you've travelled that journey with all those players, as most of the players probably have travelled at this stage. It's a very experienced team. But what were the early days like?
I suppose early days was like, I actually think it started out with the senior team had a mothers and others team, and then from that it developed that there was great interest, and so then we kind of, there's a lot of us coming up, and I think we just from there naturally formed the team, so it grew, but it's just lovely to still be with the same group of girls, and like I said just earlier on as well, it's amazing to see, say me as one of the senior players, to see a lot of the younger age from under sixes and under eights and all the girls who marked on yesterday, that there's such a gang coming up now, it's amazing, which we didn't have back then when we started. It was all very fresh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's great to see how it has grown since 2011. It's massive, really.
Yeah. John Quilter, final question, and we'll let you get back to the big business of celebrating with all your friends up there. And God, how much you said you had Crotter people and you had Lixnaw people inside the one pub. Fair play to you. You're going quite well. John, I suppose we asked earlier on a personal level, where can the journey go from here? I mean, you often see a team, they win a county and it's kind of the end of the journey because, you know, they've been fighting so hard to get it. But, I mean, you're surely looking at and saying, turning around, like, we've won one. Do you know, is there a glint in the eye for a second one and maybe even a third one?
Straight up, the answer is we're not really thinking ahead of tonight. We don't know. What we really need is the club needs to say senior. There is a bit of a gap. There's no minor team. There's so many good young players coming up. You have all our own kids are actually Miriam's nieces are playing and stuff, and my own kids, my own little girl Anya is playing, and Anna and Ellen. There's a little bit of a gap, and these girls I would hope would keep going, and they need fresh faces and good management, and they need to stay senior. It's very hard to win a senior title, and I will say Southern Gales were probably the best champions that I've seen in any county, and I've done a good bit of the boys football as well and underage. Southern Gales are one of the best champions, and yesterday they're such good losers, if you know what I mean. They didn't want to lose. They're so, like, it was, you couldn't but hold your hat off them. So I would just like to throw my thing to them that they're brilliant. Last year they were good winners, and this year they're good losers, and I would hope they're good winners, do you know. Where do we go from here? Anyone who's any bit competitive wants to keep winning and wants to keep at it, and if you don't want to do that, you know, and these girls have always done that. So there's my long-winded answer to it. Of course, everyone wants to keep going, but look, it's year on year, it's week on week. You got to build on stuff, and who knows what tomorrow will bring, but sure.
Well, don't mind what tomorrow brings, because certainly this evening brings celebrations and much deserved and much reward. Fair play to you. Fantastic champions. Tom, congratulations. Sarah and Miriam, fair play to both of you. And John Quilter, fair play. And as I said, all those people, I remember Johnny Horgan, I forgot him, of course, and Johnny Joy and Seamus Deck, and probably left out another half a dozen of them. And big shout out to Liz Houlihan as well. Always, if we were needed, called on fairly quickly as well, which is fantastic. And all the other players, I forgot to mention Jackie Hawkins, says I. Was she hanging out around the square again yesterday for Easy Freeze, John, was she?
Jackie Hogan doesn't hang around for anything, and I don't know if there was any Easy Freeze that she got, but she's a great character anyway, and she's great crack, but like, she's like two different personalities on the field. Like Sarah Murphy, she is not one to be trifled with, and both ladies off the field, like all the rest of them are.
Absolutely, fair play to you. Listen, guys, thanks very much, and thanks for taking so much time with us this evening. It was an absolute pleasure, and the very best to look to you in the Munster Championship, and certainly Tom Boy, get the checkbook open, because home games cost a few bob, Tom.
You've
been
here,
my man,
to come in with a big sponsor.
There we go. Of course, you only mentioned about 4 seconds to go after 24 minutes of an interview. Okay, listen, guys, thanks very much, and we leave it there, and we will take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, just a couple of comments. I do want to congratulations to Finnoog St. Sennans on their county championship win. I enjoyed listening to the commentary from gold award winning Tim and Breda. Great game, and congratulations to Rathmore too. And that's Charles up there in North Kerry, in Ben Longford, of course, Charles. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, a big, huge congratulations to Tim and all the Radio Kerry gang. 3 gold medals and a bronze medal as well. Absolutely fantastic. We have a gold medalist and a bronze medalist, actually, as it comes out inside the production crew this evening. But the gold medal for St. Pat's anyway. Bronze for Crokes, huh? My God, sounds... This interview is going to go one way anyway. But they got a bronze medal. Now, training with the stars. It's a unique opportunity to train with inter-county and club superstars while supporting a great cause in St. Francis Special School in Beaufort. And it's a great annual event, of course. And I'm delighted to have... joined by, my God, there's nearly more people here now than there's out in Finnoog St. Sennans celebrating their cup. Keith Bradley, principal of St. Francis School. Gina Sullivan, of course, the mother of Michael. How's Michael?
He's in great form, thank God.
Absolutely.
Happy to be back in school.
Fiercely excited for this as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're training med in school these days. The kids are really going to put the intra-county heroes to their paces.
Oh my God, fair play. And of course, that's the voice of Gina Sullivan. She was, I suppose, the mother of Michael, of course, a student at the school. And I suppose event organiser and all sorts of things, you know, all dressed up for this evening. And you brought a couple of more people with you. My God, last year you just brought Jason Foley, dragged him in, trained him to this. But this year you brought Fionnuala O'Sullivan all the way from Kinmare. Quiva Evans from MKL Gales. What part of MKL Gales are you from?
Kiel.
Oh, very good. The K part.
Yeah.
Excellent. And we have Micheál Burns from, well, Dr. Crooks. We won't ask you any questions really hard, okay? We'll be sorted. Okay. First of all, back this time of year, I mean, talk about the success over the last number of years. I mean, we went down, we brought our crew down from Kilcommon. They went out, Shawnee Shea practiced free kicks with them, the whole lot. They totally enjoyed it. And then we came out the gap. Great burgers, by the way. Fantastic burgers. Got our ticket, got the burgers. And then we got out straight away and we replaced straight away. It's a huge event. I mean, the amount of clubs that embraced it last year, same again this year, hopefully.
Same again, yeah. That's the plan. Obviously, last year I was here and great to be back again tonight. But it was my first time attending the event because I was only newly appointed last year. So I was completely blown away, overwhelmed by the amount of effort. And I think on the day when I saw the hundreds of kids, literally there was hundreds and altogether a couple of thousand people, I think about 1,800 attended the event last year, that I was really blown away by the level of effort that Jean had gone to, and that the intercounty stars were willing to give up their time, the amount of clubs that came along. But a unique event that I'd never seen anything like before, that you could have your club team playing, training with intercounty stars, get a bite to eat, party atmosphere. Radio Kerry were there as well, of course, and then going bigger and better again this year, and all to this lady Jean and the county stars rowing in behind us. It's amazing.
You've been working on the accent, Keith, as well. It's kind of almost a mid-Kerry Cork one now. It was all Cork last year, was it?
It was all Cork last year, and depending on what way the wind is blowing, it could go again. But I'm getting an awful lot of slagging because between being a Beaufort man, but following some of the Glencairdlane lads that are playing with the school, and then mid-Kerry as well, I've gone to more football games in the last 12 months than I did in the 12 years previous, because I'd be a hurling man myself, mostly up in Cork. Like,
they're washing the hurling out of you.
Bit by bit.
Come here, Jean. It's great to be back again. I mean, it's amazing how fast the year goes around, isn't it?
Oh, it just flew.
Yeah.
Flew.
Come here. Is it easier to organise because it's such a successful event, or is it even harder to organise because it's such a successful event?
No, I suppose it's a bit easier, you know. I've a great background team, to be fair. I can take on.
So you have the whole Kerry team in football and ladies and hurling, which you're sure you should have a great day.
Phenomenal. He's gotten what hurlers he's brought on board this year. It is just a credit to him. Fionnuala is the man with all the connections for the hurlers, and Caoimhe then with the ladies. I mean, it's fantastic. She's been on the phone there getting the ladies to come on board, and Micheál as well. He's been fantastic. He comes into the Sailors there for his dinner, and I haven't played. Yeah.
More free advertising. My God, you're getting really good. Come here, Fionnuala. First of all, let's go back. Obviously, I suppose there's the hurling, the ladies' football, and the football aspect to it. It's not a hard call to ring a few fellas in North Kerry and say, come down here.
No, it's not. And they jumped at the chance to come down and give a hand for a day when they heard that it was for the school in Beaufort. Like, they said, not a bother. Come down for 3 days if you want us to, like. And just last year I decided, as one or two lads from college there from other counties with all our middles and all stars, I said, sure, lads, if you're around, would you come down? And they said, not a bother. Came down for the day. Worked from 10 to 3 with the kids. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's a very enjoyable day out, in fairness. And the boys from North Kerry again this year, the fellas that weren't there last year, like, geez, we'll be down to give a hand this year, not a bother to slack.
And what's it like? Obviously, the hurling is as important in Kinmare as the football, isn't it? Absolutely. But what's it like to have that represented at an event like this as well? Because sometimes in a football county, we kind of forget, don't we? But I mean, the hurlers are there. They're there in Mirrors.
Well, they are there. Like, last year was the first year we had the hurling involved with the training with stars. Like, so Jean met me and said, would you get involved? I said, no bother at all. Like, and of course, like, it is a football county. But yeah, you have your kids as well that are going to be mad to go out and play a bit of hurling, meet their stars as well. Like, so, like, it was no bother for them to come down and help out. Like, and like I said, yeah, we might be second fiddle to the footballers, but like, on the day, it doesn't really matter. The kids are there to have their fun, see their stars. Like, that's all that really matters on the day. Like,
would you be worried now that we'll be teaching South Kerry kids how to play hurling like North Kerry men, no?
They were trying long enough for it.
It's good to have it. Come here, the ladies football, I mean, it's on the rise. It's great to see it. I mean, we had the first hour of the show this evening talking about ladies football and Rathmore and talking about Finnuig St. Sennans and I suppose word to Southern Gales and Scarta Glen as well and all the other clubs in it. But what's it like to be part of a process like this where you sit around the table? It's a circular table here as well. It's a very even world. And obviously an awful lot of girls playing ladies football and they're going down to see their stars, all their stars who reached the All-Ireland as well.
Oh, it's fantastic. Like, and we had great support all year long. And when Jean got in contact with me and said what it was for, I didn't even have to think twice about it. I was so happy and even privileged to be asked to come down and help out. But it's a great cause, and I know so many people are looking forward to it. And the countdown is on now to this Saturday.
And of course, you're a mid-Kerry woman as well, kind of on the West Kerry side of it and heading back a small bit. And of course, we're all Kerry people. We know, I suppose, that the value of St. Francis Special School, and we've all friends and families and people along the way that share that journey at different times. That in itself is a fantastic project to be involved with.
Oh yeah, 100%, like, and they do such incredible work there, and even my own brothers, they'll be there now, they'll be going down Saturday, and they're looking forward to it, and they're even delighted to be a part of it, and know that they're helping out in their own way, so it's great, and completely looking forward to it now.
They'll be giving out, will they?
Not at all.
They don't give out. Come here, Michael Burns, Michal Burns, God Almighty. Sneem is in my head for some reason. I look at you and they say Crokes, but obviously you have the South Kerry connection, haven't you?
My father's from Sneem, yeah.
You'd be friendly enough to go back to Kinmare anyway. It's only back the road, is it?
That's it.
What's it like to be involved as a Kerry senior footballer? I mean, it's training with the stars, and obviously everybody here at the table is a star, even my new helper here. What's your name?
Sally May.
Sally May. What age are you, Sally May?
9 years old.
9 years old. Do you play football?
Yeah.
Do you like hurling?
Yeah.
Does your father make you watch hurling?
No.
Oh my God, fair play, Sally May. Good stuff. We'll talk to you in a second, Sally May. I said we're loads of stars. But what's it like to give your time back, Michal, for the likes of this?
Like Fionnuala and Caoimhe said, it's a no-brainer, really. When I was actually back in the school maybe a year or two ago with a transitioner group from the same. And I saw firsthand the work they put in back there and the care they give to their students. So anything you could do to lend to a good cause like that, you'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's a person in Kerry that doesn't understand the importance of St. Francis Special School. But for the two that don't, Keith, tell us what you are, tell us what the school does, and tell us, I suppose, the huge benefits and the positiveness of it.
Yeah, so... we've 62 pupils. All our pupils would have moderate or severe to profound intellectual disabilities. Some would have life-limiting conditions. Some would say maybe are peg-fed. We have children that are non-ambulant. We have children autistic, Down syndrome, a wide variety of needs. But really you're talking about children, I suppose, that have that are amongst, you know, the most vulnerable in our society. So... and just listening to the players here, and they're talking about, you know, they're just absolutely delighted, and even hearing the word privilege to get involved with helping us out. That's what it is for us, I suppose, as a staff. We have a job to do, kind of, but it is genuinely a privilege to be involved with helping these kids and families, you know, because I suppose there is a time maybe when children that were that vulnerable maybe may not have got a chance to go to school. And, you know, I see it there every day that the kids, you know, you leave your ego and your inhibitions at the door. Because the kids will bring you down, absolutely down to earth with a thud. But we're very lucky. We have an amazing staff who turn in, day out. We're also very lucky in the county and beyond, you know, that people do support us and they fundraise and help us out. And that allows us to do more for the kids and support the families, you know. I mean, my own little girl is in St. Francis Special School as well, Aoife. So if Sally May here tonight, and we've Aoife in school with us, but we can't turn right at Manus Cross. We have to go left, because when Aoife thinks we're going right, she'll be screeching and yelping to go into school, but she's non-speaking. She's, you know, she's 12 years old, development age of about 2.5, and the screeching and yelping, and Sally May would tell you that she's absolutely loves school, loves going into her teachers, Mary and Maeve, every day, and into the SNAs and the class, like, and it's been very humbling for me as an experience to be principal of that school, but we just want to keep providing and doing the best we can for the kids and the families, you know.
And of course that that's what an event is for, and it's like this event, of course. It's to keep that work continuous and maybe even a little bit extra, that you can do a little bit extra or do a little bit more as well. The benefits of the money, I suppose, and the finance and the support, I mean, obviously, I mean, it's seen left, right and centre in the school.
Left, right and centre, to be honest, yeah. I suppose, like, we have to do an awful lot more maybe than another school. Now, in every school, look, I've been principal for 13 years. Every school would gladly, love a little bit of extra fundraising. But we provide therapies for the children. They attend speech and language therapy, and they need access to occupational therapy, physiotherapy. We did a huge fundraiser last year in the INEC. It was great. We sold out the INEC at the Oscars, brought in a lot of money, and that's all gone already. And now we're looking, the building is 40 years old. We need to retrofit all the windows, the lighting, the heating, all of that. This year in particular, I think, and myself and Jean have discussed it, we would love to support the families. You know, we provide, there's an 8-week holiday period, we say there, right, in the summer, and we provide up to the last 2 years, it's 2 weeks of extra work, but like, we need to do more for the kids and the families for that big gap in the summer. So we're looking at different avenues, hopefully maybe this year use that money, because some of our kids, they really rely on routine. They need consistency. The families need it, you know. So we're looking maybe to try and see if we can do something during the summer this year to support the families more, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because obviously, I suppose it's like everything you talk about the school, but it's a community in a sense. I mean, you mentioned reference family, of course, and the school is part of that day. It's part of that jigsaw, really. I mean, you must put all the different parts together to make it, I suppose, the right way or whatever way you want to do it and make it as easy for yourself. And this is a very important part that jigsaw puzzle to get the money, to get the finance in, to get, I suppose, a plan in place and keep the needs of those 62 people at the highest level. See if I'm mad for school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like school?
Yeah.
That's about a 5 out of 10, is it? Do you like school?
A bit.
Yeah. Do you like teachers?
Yeah.
That's about a 6 out of 10, is it? Do you like a lot of teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know he was a teacher?
No.
Oh, my God. How are you enjoying your teaching?
Good, good, loving it. Now I'm...
You're in God's country, I heard.
Austin Schellig, I know, with, since September, so it's brilliant. There's a great gang down there, great community like that. It's a school that caters for a massive community, so great gang down there.
Are you getting really, the brogue really yet, are you?
Sorry?
Are you getting the brogue yet?
What's that now?
A nice soft talk.
No, they're cute out down there.
And loads of new friends from Drummond and Portmagee and all these kind of places. Two assists, we mentioned it earlier, the capital of the world at this stage. I mean, we have listeners
in. It's well on the map now at this
time. Absolutely. Come here, talk to us about your small fella and the impact the school has had on you and the family and the whole lot and the need for it. And, you know, obviously, what is he, 11? 10?
11, yeah.
He's motoring along fairly quickly too, wasn't he?
Yes, and I'm motoring on myself as well. That's the worst part, really, I suppose. But no,
what's it like for him?
You know, he's just so happy in school, Donald, and there is no other place he wants to be. Even coming home there in the evening, trying to get him off the bus, you know, it's a bit torturous, really. You know, he just wants to stay. And it's not that he doesn't want to come home to me, but he just knows, you know, that his school day is over now till the morning. So.
But he knows he's going back.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. No, I mean, he's flourished below. Like, and I suppose I sound like a broken record. I'm always saying this, like, but, like, it was a life-changing decision for us as a family to send him there. When Michael was first diagnosed, like, I hadn't a clue. They might as well have told me he was going to fly a space shuttle and... You know, I was like...
What's it like getting that news at the start? What's it like? I mean, you know, it's a bridge everybody crosses. I mean...
Yeah, I suppose, looking back, it was heartbreaking. You know, I suppose I knew... My older boy has autism as well, but I knew Michael was more profound. I knew there was something there that he had more additional needs than Ciarán has. And I guess the day we got the news that, you know, he wouldn't settle in our local national school, that mm-hmm. wasn't the correct setting for me, I suppose it broke my heart, really, and there's no denying that, because, like, when you're pregnant, you have a vision in your head of the way the pregnancy is going to work out, the way when your baby's born, you know, boy or girl, they'll tag you, I had it in my head, I suppose, he was going to tag out for two sisters and wear the green and red, he was going to go to school in our local national school, and I suppose that all just came crashing down then, you know, in the sense that we went on a new journey. I suppose the best way to describe being a special needs parent, it's like planning a holiday to America, knowing, getting yourself ready, knowing the language, knowing that this is what, where I'm going, and then realising that your plane gets diverted and you end up in Russia, you don't understand the language, you don't know what's going on, and you need some place or some people like the staff in St. Francis' Special School to kind of take you by the hand and say, look, we've got you, mm-hmm. we've got Michael, and this is what, this is what's going to happen, this is the road we're going to take now.
Yeah.
And it was a hard decision, I suppose, for us, because like, we're 45 kilometres from the school, but at the end of the day, after a few days, he was yeah. running out the door. There was no stopping him, and it was absolutely the best decision I ever made. I'm very fond of all the kids below, great admiration for the staff, and I suppose as a parent, I could see first, I see firsthand the cuts. I do, like, our for ourselves, you know, respite in home support hours, they're not there, and I suppose I felt that I wanted to give and do my own little thing and give back, and with the great help of these three fabulous individuals here alongside me and the rest of the intra-county heroes that are going to be taking part in Saturday training with the Stars as Warren, and yeah,
your pleasure. God, you're a real star, aren't you?
I'm not.
An absolute gem. And you know what, we are genuinely, like I say, last year went to the event and said I need to take the finger out really and do a lot more, and even this year she hasn't let me do an awful lot more, and she puts it on everybody else, but it has to be acknowledged.
Well, to be fair, I feel
we're going to have an argument on the radio.
Keep going.
I just feel, you know what, the staff do enough, they go above and beyond for our children, yeah. and you know, they really do. Like, I mean, over the summer that we didn't have school, you know, from 9 to 3 was crazy. you know what I'm saying? Like, it was. And
it's a big realisation of the amount of work that goes on when all of a sudden, like you say, that.
And I take my hat off. And, like, yeah. I suppose they see, I suppose the shoe fit goes both ways, because they can see, you know, what we do at home as well, you know, and whatever. But I just feel, you know, this is just my way of giving back. The staff, they've all come on board. They said they, you know, they'll help out on Saturday. They'll, you know, do whatever. And that's great. But do you know what? If they only sat down and relaxed and had an old burger and sausage for themselves, they'd be nothing wrong with that either.
Might be listening.
They won't be getting that. Come here, we'll talk to those three stars after this quick commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Owen Byrne here till 8 o'clock. And, of course, I'm talking with the gang from Training with the Stars, of course, at St. Francis School, Special School, of course, in Beaufort there, and it's their annual event. And, of course, it's all about stars, I suppose, on the day as well. Three big names, of course, in the studio with us, Micheál Burns, Caoimhe Evans and Fionnuala Sullivan. Micheál, have you rounded up a crew for the next day?
Yeah, there's loads of lads are involved. I suppose a lot of local kind of Kerry players are stuck in it. So there's the likes of Tyke Morley and Johnny O'Shea, obviously, and these guys are down for today. Gavin White. So it's a great opportunity for, I suppose, kids just to get out and get to see the lads and get to do a bit of a session underneath them. So,
and apart from that, like, I mean, obviously, I mean, kids want the photograph and they want the autograph and they want the whole lot. But last year, watching it in from the wire, because we brought Kilcoman down and they were inside, they listen a lot more to senior inter-county players than they listen to their club coaches.
Yeah.
What's that about?
I suppose when you're growing up watching, kind of, like, I can remember back when I was a young fellow, all I wanted to do was go and watch Kerry and try, you'd be following them around to their club games trying to get a glimpse of the Kerry players. So I suppose that's where the attentiveness comes from. I didn't do too much now. I let Tyke Morley take the reins, and he did a great job, to be fair. So.
Yeah. Tyke is flying. Tyke managed, well, with Rowan Hosey helping him, of course, he managed Kinmare National School there to win their section of the Cunha Munskull. Yeah, they're heading to the semi-final. I think they're taking on Skull Vic Aspen here in Tralee. It'll be a bit of a battle on that sideline. Looking at that, Caoimhe, obviously big names from the Kerry with you. Who have you wrangled in?
Yeah, there's a good few girls. I suppose there is Niamh Bodrick from my own club, and there's Amy Harrington as well, I suppose, who'd be well known down in Kinmare. She plays with ISG, so it's great as well for her and for the local kids down there. And yeah, it's all very exciting.
Yeah. Amy Harrington, of course, is two sister royal, is she?
Her mom would be from Two Sisters.
So. Oh, yeah. You've disowned them, so have you? They're Kinmare people now, are they?
Well, no, you see, the ISG is, I suppose, the ladies' club below in Kinmare.
In for skin,
covers
yes.
All the clubs, like, there wouldn't be the numbers in each. In, well, there could be, maybe, I'm not sure, but
I remember there used to be Old Sneem Kinmare back in the day. And they flew down the flag and up a nice little crest and became Inverskeen and Gales. Kinmare, God almighty, you will have them appearing all over the ditch, don't you, will they?
I know, we're looking forward to there now. In fairness, the lads coming down, they've Fanon Maxi coming down there now, and Shane Conway, Owen Ross, Eric Lean, there's a good shot of them, there's a few fellas from outside the county coming down to give a hand for
them. They're actually huge names. I mean, Fanon Maxi, obviously, he's gold at the moment. Did you know that when you were training with him, that he can puck it that far?
Oh, we knew it all right, yeah. I'd say I wouldn't like to be the goalkeeper's inside training when he's coming down top, to be honest. But he's a monster of a man, really. Like, so it wasn't a huge surprise when he was able to drive the ball.
Yeah. And talk to me about Kinmare and your club behind. I mean, earlier, would you believe it, myself and I even got a bit lost earlier. We were looking back at 2013 and 14. It was all his fault. We were wondering what year he was. You were 13 and minor, weren't you?
14
was a successful year.
Yeah.
And 13 was the other year. But we were looking at, and Kinmare were getting to junior Munster club games, and they were playing Cork teams and the whole lot. I mean, the history of hurling down there, it is huge.
It is. It is alive down there still, to be fair. Like, and you've our neighbours out there, Kilgarvan as well. Like, you know, they're still flying the flag high as well. So, look, football is going to always probably be number one down there. But it's just keeping the lads interested. Like, we didn't win an intermediate championship now in a while. It's a good few years ago now, I can't even remember. But hopefully in the next couple of years now, we get fellas back on board again. Mm-hmm. And
Is it hard to keep the hurling flag flying in a, I suppose, a part where football is kind of key, as a sense? Or is that just something we see, but it doesn't really
exist?
I know,
like, it's hard for the players, like, fellas that want to play a duel. It's always going to be tough, like, you know, like, if you're playing club football and club hurling, it doesn't have to be in Kerry, it could be in Cork, it could be Limerick, it could be anywhere. Like, if you're playing both, like, you could be on the pitch there 4 or 5 days a week, like in your gym sessions and things. Like you can understand why some people don't want to play both. Like, they want to have a life as well. So yeah, it's tough enough to keep it going down there, but we're still throwing out teams every year, so we're still winning some games in championship and things, so we won't give up just yet.
MKL Gales almost got, were you beating the semi-final?
Yeah, we were, yeah.
Won't mention too much. Who beat you?
Ratmore.
Oh, right, of course they won. Talk about the senior game. Finnug St. Sennans, obviously you're great friends with Niamh Carmody, obviously, inside there. I mean, what's it like to see people inside in the Kerry team that you know really well winning a senior county championship?
Oh, it's great. Like, you know, when we finish up with county, it's always exciting to go back and play with the club. So you've high aspirations when you go into the championship with the club. But yeah, it was a cracking game between Finnug and Southern Gales, and obviously a lot of big names between both teams, and Finnug came out on top, and it was a great game, and fair play to Finnug, and it's nice to have new senior county championships now this year.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. Oh God, North Kerry could be mad about you. You can't really definitely pass the ball to you, maybe in training. Looking back at your own club, obviously MKL Gales, I mean, it's a huge club. Back in the old days, it was Milltown Listroy in MKL Gales. So much going on there, so much positive stuff going on there as well. What's it like to be part of that and seeing the younger kids come away up as well at 12 and 14?
Oh, it's lovely. It's great. Like, do you know, the younger kids, they're so supportive and they look up to us, to be fair. And, you know, we're always trying to influence them so that they'll stay playing and stay coming up along. So, you know, it's great that way. And we were happy that we were glad that we made it to the semi-final this year. Unfortunately, we fell short. So hopefully now next year we'll be gunning for it.
God almighty, poor Scotland Glen again. They get to their third final. They're tough to beat, aren't they?
Oh, they're very tough, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. How's the county championship going?
Not great.
Come here to me. Obviously, Dr. Croke's not in it, but that's fair enough. Obviously, you're just taking a break or a Kit Kat or something. Looking at the eight teams that are left, it's great for you. You get a breakdown, you get to watch them. I mean, but obviously, yeah, everybody says.
Of course, you'd prefer to be playing now next week, but yeah, you'd be grateful for a break as well. You'd be going all year round, but yeah. No, of course, we prefer to be.
Yeah, Croaks are in transition a small bit, maybe, are they? Do you know what I mean?
I suppose we are. We have a young team. Maybe it's not gelling together the way we'd like it to at the moment, but I suppose all we can do now is try to regroup and play the other new cup and try win that again, and then just regroup and go again next year.
Mm-hmm. Looking at the quarterfinals next week, everybody's saying East Kerry. Looking in from the outside, do you agree, disagree?
Yeah, I suppose East Kerry have obviously won it, have been very successful the last few years, so it probably is hard to look past them. But look, there's some strong teams there as well. Mid Kerry are very strong. Dingle have a lot of momentum behind them after winning the club championship. So it'll be an interesting year. Yeah, it probably is hard to look past East Kerry, but you just wouldn't know really, I suppose.
Will they pencil Crokes down for the Dunham Cup?
Yeah, do it.
At Penn State, oh yeah, no Rathmore, no Spa, we won't go there. They're in the big championship, of course. Come here, from wrapping it up, Keith. Anybody out there that wants to give a help or a hand or wants to get involved, can they find you? Can they help you? Is there other events you're running as well last year, the Oscars as well? That door, I presume, is always open, is it?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're always very, very grateful of you know, support. We have the Killarney Vintage Classic Club at the moment are doing a big event, and we've been nominated as one of their charities. The Angling and Trout Club in Killarney, you know, sent us a check yesterday. And yeah, look, we'd be always very, very grateful of any support. I mean, this event is huge, and Gene will tell you more about the numbers. Like, it's fully booked, and I think it's testament maybe to the event as well. Like, I mean, to come along and train with an intercounty star is something special. Like, it's something amazing. And yeah, look, we've our Facebook page, and we have a website and the whole lot. So anything at all, give me a shout, no problem. Delighted to hear from you.
When we're here next year, you'll have a mid-Kerry accent, will you?
Well, hopefully we'll have a county title as well, because I'm saying we now with the Royal We, but yeah, it'd be great. Mid-Kerry, it'd be delighted to see them win it.
Fair play. Final one for you and wrapping it up, Gene. What can people expect on the day? I mean, some people have gone time and time again, but the new clubs, what's the experience?
It's just a fun day out. You're meeting your intercounty heroes, you're out training, getting the best advice from some of the top class players, and I suppose it's the present intercounty heroes training the future intercounty heroes coming up along, you know, getting their chips. I think if I was to go back in the day and have trained with one of my superstar heroes, I would have been delighted. I think it's a great opportunity for the children.
Go on, who would you run down to the field to let you train?
Oh, I couldn't be saying that now on the radio. But, you know,
there were so many of them, to be fair.
That's it, yeah. Absolutely. It's a bit like Sophie's Choice now, to be fair. I couldn't pick between any of them. They were just all a super bunch. But no, it's going to be a fantastic day. The weather looks good on the phone anyway. I will ask everybody to please put out the child prank.
That's all right. You won't worry the hurlers in your show. Ground hurling down Kimmere is a thing, isn't
it?
Not a bother. The rainer the better. Sally Mae, that was easy, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You come back to us next year?
We might bring Paddy next year, will we?
Oh my God, we'll have to get an extra chair.
Paddy's training under fours with Beaufort, you see, because championship is in 10 years.
Does Paddy like rugby?
No.
Oh my God, our next guest anyway, he's all rugby. Are you watching the World Cup?
Yeah.
Go on, tell me who Ireland played at the weekend.
Scotland.
Oh, good girl, fair play, you will be kept. Absolutely fantastic. Well, now my next guest, he's inside here, right? Would you believe he was over in Paris, right? Singing Zombie and singing all sorts of songs, and he was the 16th man, the whole lot, and he's going to tell us all about the Rugby World Cup when he comes back. Keith, the very best of luck. Gene Fenta.
I just say one thing?
The royal finger, is it?
Sorry, no, I didn't mean to point. My apologies.
It was heading north, to be fair.
I just want to thank everybody, really. Everybody that has rocked in behind us, our sponsors, the intercounty stars, all the clubs for coming on board. And I suppose just to tell everybody that they're doing something absolutely amazing for some of the most vulnerable children in the school, and for any of the boys and girls that might be listening out there tonight, fair play to you lads, you're doing such a good thing, and there is no greater joy than helping others, and we are totally, totally blown away. And as Michael's mom, and on behalf of him and all the boys and girls of St. Francis' Special School, Gora Míle Maithagas.
Absolutely, fine words. And of course, we're joined by fine people. Michal, the very best look in the year ahead, club and county and the whole lot. Quiver, the same for yourself. Hopefully we get up there from intermediate and move on.
Hopefully.
And, well, you know, the Khmer hurlers, just keep the flag flying, I suppose.
Go on,
And keep going, and that's all anybody can ask.
Absolutely.
There has to be something for Two Assists to win sooner or later. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, an awful lot of love coming in for the people out there in Fionnuala, St. Sennans, and of course, and why not, they are celebrating a senior county championship football title, their first one in North Kerry. Donald, Johnny Horgan has two wins this year in the management, of course. Well, of course, absolutely. He was with Crotty, I forgot all about that. Congratulations to all involved. Katie O'Callaghan, Katie O'Sullivan, and others put in an amount of work into the club when things weren't going well. Absolutely, Katie, I can echo. I remember Katie there as well. Well done to them. It was great to be there yesterday from a proud North Kerry supporter. And then heading from one side of the county to the other side of the county, and our good friends blow into Sist, who never let us away with anything. Julie O'Sullivan is a native of Drummuchty, and two Sist and a half twin, and I know her mem and dad, Sinead and Sean, and that's from Dermot, and I presume Margaret Ann as well. And fair play to you for great listeners all the way through, and keep us supplied with some vital information when it comes to all the happenings in two Sist. Now, Mike Milner has become a bit of a hit here in the studio over the last number of weeks. God almighty, the man flies over and back for every match I know in the World Cup. Mike, great to have you back. Just for the record, you were at the game.
I was, and I'm feeling every bit of it.
Absolutely.
I'm here with another bottle of water.
I'd say, yeah, we'd have great sponsorship for the whole water, I'd say, if we got going. Come here, obviously to Scotland, we had the South Africa one, we were kind of half nervous, it was a great performance, all that. Everybody kind of said, Ireland were going to beat Scotland, Ireland were going to beat. But on the run up to it, there was kind of a maybe a more cautious approach. We've kind of been here before, and we kind of let the ball slip, and we had that Argentina one, and Japan, absolutely, yep. Them kind of frightening ones, yep. And that gathers momentum, and people think it, and the build up. Was that tension in the crowd ahead of time, heading to the match, were those kind of questions being asked? God, it's Scotland, they haven't beat us in ages, but they could beat us again, and the whole lot. Was that kind of there?
Yeah, there was definitely caution in the wind. People did see Scotland as a potential banana skin. Bear in mind as well that they were going well in the Six Nations, you know, and they were fifth in the world. You know, you had to pay them respect. But I suppose, you know, the first try after, what was it, 5 minutes? And that definitely eased worries and that, you know. So, look, for me, it was just, as soon as that try went over, the nerves just eased, and you could see it in the crowd, and you know, everybody was singing along, and it was just in the air. You could feel that sense, you know, that sense of relief. Here we go, we have them here. We're going to move on, and then they got the ball. They went down the other end. They were camped on our goal line for a good 10 minutes, and I thought, like, our attack was brilliant, but it was our defence that really won that game. You know, yeah. I think they went to 18 or 19 phases. It started on our goal line, and we actually pushed them out to our 22, you know, before they knocked it on, and we got the ball back, and that was, you know, you could even see the reaction afterwards on the TV, like Andy Farrell's reaction, and that was just a killer blow for them, you know.
Yeah, it's funny with rugby, of course, we look at it and we think the scores are the vital parts, yeah, of the game, but obviously they're not. I mean, it's passages and plays and tackles that are won, and I suppose at different stages you look at what different players do. Scotland get to the break, they're kind of broken at this stage. They decided to do a bit of an old GA thing just after the second half and kind of get stuck in, didn't they?
They did. Well, look, we had four tries scored in the first half. We'd really, but I'm just actually thinking back, just off the top of my head, they did the same in the warm-ups against France. France went in at halftime and they were up like 35 points, and then Scotland came back and actually nearly won the match at the end. So yeah, you had to pay them respect in that. But at the same time, if you look at the two tries that they did score, they were both scored from either side of our wings. Mm-hmm. On both down the line, they broke us up, and we had lost both our wingers at that stage, you know. So there is an argument to be made that if we had both our wingers on, that we would have been better defensively, you know.
Yeah. Full time whistle goes, we have the celebrations again. We look at it, we watch it on television, we have it on our phones, we have it on social media, we have friends who are at it, yeah, and tell. Just break it down to people who weren't there. I mean, what is it like?
Oh,
I mean,
it's so hard to put into words. Yeah. It's just incredible. Like the South Africa match was something, but this brings it to a whole different level altogether. There was way more Irish fans at this match than there were at the Scottish match. I was in town. The hotel that we were staying, we weren't staying in the same hotel that we were staying in for the South African game. We were more central. There was a couple of Irish bars right around the corner. We went down there, And it was like Temple Bar on steroids. It was just crazy. It was just mental. Like some of the videos, I don't know if you've seen them there on social media, there was a Scottish man with bagpipes on top of a moving bus. There was a lad that took a rugby ball and he put it on top of a plastic glass or plastic cup.
Taking a conversion.
Yeah, that was right in front of me in the hall and you're just like, oh my God. And that rugby ball went up into the sky and landed on I don't know how many heads for about an hour before he did that. You know, it was just crazy and crazy fun. And the tube to actually the metro to get from where we were to the stadium was about 20 minutes and it was just packed. And even to get to the tube, the tunnel going in, must have been, I would say, at least 3,000 or 4,000 people queuing. We ended up having to go backwards, the opposite direction, to get a metro, to go to a metro station, 3 or 4 stops the opposite direction, to get onto the metro, to go back the right direction, just so we could bypass the queue. It was just crazy, the amount of Irish fans that are there. It was incredible.
Yeah, and of course, obviously they're not all at the game. I presume they're probably spending a lot of them are at the game, but I mean, people that don't get to the game, that atmosphere lends itself to when the game is over and you're out and people are watching it, I suppose, on in pubs and restaurants and all that, and it's an incredible amount of number. The fact that it's in France, is that a huge bonus for Ireland, that it's just hop and solo over the road and we can get in and out fairly quickly? I mean, and that, because it's in France, is there more onus or pressure? We're playing the All Blacks the next day. Obviously the All Blacks can't bring as many people as the Irish people can fly over in a hurry, so you would imagine that they'll be at least 50-50 or even more. But are you getting the sense that the neutrals that are there, and there's a lot of neutrals, and I suppose in many senses you look at New Zealand and England and South Africa and Australia, they're gone now, but they're the bigger teams in a sense. Ireland haven't done this. Is there a lot of neutral support for the Irish?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's also as well because of the style of play that Ireland play with, for a neutral supporter, and that it's just very admiring. But I met loads of different people. I met loads of South Africans. I met a few Kiwis now, and they had tickets for this. But what they were telling me was that there's a lot of their friends coming over for, I suppose, the business end of the tournament. Mm-hmm. So the quarterfinals, semi-final, and potential final for them. So that there's going to be plenty of Kiwis around next week. But for me, I think that the South African fans have been just a revelation. They are just such good crack. Even when they lost, they were just such good crack, singing along and they knew our anthems and the whole lot. It was just brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Will you take another quick swig of that water there? We'll take a quick break and we'll be back after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Loads of Terrace Talk promos tonight. They're just falling out of the sky. It's absolutely fantastic. Mary Connor, you stay away from that, will you, please? Will you? Don't be pressing any buttons. We're here with Mike Miller, of course, and we're talking about rugby. And, of course, Mike is, I suppose, he's one of the best supporters out of the stage, over and back. Come here, let's talk about the All Blacks. We kind of half knew that they were on the scene somewhere along the way. I mean, we're a week out from a game. And for the first time in all our games, we're talking about injuries heading into it.
Yeah, I blame you. You jinxed it last week when you came along and said, oh jeez, we were blessed with injuries, and next thing you know it, yeah, Henshaw falls and Keith Earlston has a hamstring issue. Yeah,
it was pretty bad actually. It's a lot of names, a lot of big names. I mean,
in Matt, one particular Matt, area
Matt,
as well.
Matt Kenson as well, and Matt Kenson, and James Lowe with the eye, and Ryan, of course, has gone off with whether he has a broken hand or not. You see today the French media are saying they can read Irish lips and they know the thing, and they say it's broken. How worrying is that, you reckon?
It's worrying, to say the least, but the only thing is that the Irish camp came out there today in the last couple of hours and said that they were going to release the team sheet 24 hours before it was actually due. So I think it's going to be released at noon on Wednesday instead of noon on Thursday. Mm-hmm. That has to bode well, you know, that they're, you know, that they can't be that worried. Like I think that James Lowe will be fine, and I know it's an eye injury and that, and they were saying it's coming back. Mac Hansen's injury, I actually think happened during the HIA. Like it was a calf tightening up. Sure, he was inside for a good 10-15 minutes inside doing nothing, you know, and then he's expected to go back out and go running again. Like, look, that's my own top
and
center.
And James Ryan, of course, that's probably the most worrying one.
Yeah, that's the most worrying one. But the only thing is, look, the two lads, James Lowe and Mac Hansen, they cover both wings, you know, and we have Keith Earls, who also has a hamstring injury. You know, we don't have a lot of cover, three wingers now potentially out.
Yeah.
You know, we have cover.
Particularly the style of game we play.
Yeah, and with respect to James Lowe, he didn't have the best of games there against South Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, Henderson came in and was really impressive, very impressive again against Scotland. Like, if you were to have a fit James Lowe or a fit Henderson, you know, against James Ryan, like, I'd be leaning towards Henderson, you know?
There's cover there in you, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have Ryan Bird to come in as well, you know, who's, you know, he's an absolute animal. Like his training, he does his sprints. He doesn't sprint with the forwards at all. He sprints with the backs. Yeah. You know, imagine having a lock that sprints with the backs.
Probably faster than most of them.
Absolutely. <He's class. laughs>
Which is frightening. Come here, New Zealand, let's talk about the All Blacks. For some reason, people have written them off and they say, look, it's the All Blacks. They're running up massive scores. Now, I know people will say in defence against teams that are probably not their level, but it still takes a lot of work to put up 80 points and 90 points on no matter who you're playing.
Absolutely. And the Irish, Andy Farrell, the Irish team, you know, they're not fools, you know. They're going to be respecting the All Blacks, especially with the likes of Joe Schmidt there, and the, you know, that knows one or two things about...
How vital is that for New Zealand to hang around the place?
Yeah, I saw a quote there from the All Blacks coach that they've been tapping into Joe Schmidt's knowledge of the Irish team for the last 12 months in preparation for this, you know, which was interesting. I think that he's going to have a couple of things up his sleeve. Like, he's doing most of the training and the warm-ups with the All Blacks. He does everything on the ground with them, you know. It's all hand-to-hand with him, you know. So I think he'll definitely have something for us, you know. I was only talking to one of the lads about it there over the weekend. Do you remember that Bundy Key switch with CJ Stander from the line out, and that, you know, it was typical Joe-esque, you know, something like that. Now,
I'm a play out of the book, really.
Absolutely,
out of the Joe Schmidt book.
I'm expecting something like that now from a line out or a scrum or something that, you know, will really, you know. But the only thing was, I thought our defence against Scotland was just incredible. That was one of the best defences and plays Ireland's put forward in a long, long time, you know. And if we can do something like that now, our backs against their backs, you know, Will Jordan, you know, Ardie Savea, Bowden Barrett, like they're
massive names. I mean, and they have that experience as well, which is huge. And of course, look, they're the All Blacks. Yeah. It's amazing how we've come from talking about maybe getting within 30 points and 40 points of the All Blacks and keeping them stop them somewhere, to saying, God, we're going to beat them in a quarter final. Very quickly, I mean, how do you see it going?
A narrow Irish win. Okay. I do think we have
from here on in, all those games are going to be tight and narrow and
absolutely
tense. I mean, they're really fixed up quarterfinals now, aren't they?
Yeah, and you know, even people are talking about semi-finals and geez, getting way ahead of ourselves and that. But no, I think a narrow win. And there's also another thing. There was another interesting little dynamic to the game. New Zealand and England have this record of 18 wins, straight wins in a row. And Ireland have 17. We could potentially equal it against New Zealand, equal their record, and potentially go on to beat it, which is incredible, you know. And ironically, the time that New Zealand had 18 wins and they were going on for their 19th win, Ireland beat them.
Yeah.
And the time that England had their 18 wins,
oh, stop,
going on to their 19th win, Ireland beat them. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, so look, there's so much going on, you know, in the background, you know, and they're going to be seeding as well after us going down to their home ground and beating them 2-1 down in New Zealand, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so look.
Well, it is New Zealand, it is the All Blacks. I remember watching them on television years ago, and my God, even getting getting a winning a line out against them was something achieved. Yeah. It's amazing where they've gone. You were on the bus, the plane, everything to get there.
Yeah, and trying to get back now is just back. Yeah, we're coming back on Sunday. We had tickets for the South Africa and France match. We're giving them up. We're coming back on Sunday. We're getting up at 7 in the morning. We're getting the train from Paris to London, then London to London Stadium. Stansted Airport, then Stansted Airport to Cork Airport, and then getting picked up at Cork Airport to be in Fitzgerald Stadium for half two for the Nagail-McKerry match.
Who said rugby fans aren't great GAA fans,
huh? I swear.
Fair play.
The things you do for
and you're looking for Nagail win, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
No pressure buys there from Nagail. This man is
Irish
traveling.
Irish win and a Nagail win.
Yeah, absolutely. So beat the All Blacks and beat the other big boys as well. This is Mike. Very thanks. Thanks for joining us. I know it was short notice, but it's great to come in and to chat about it. And that was your Terrace Talk this evening. Of course, we had the training with the Stars. We spoke to all the gang out there in Finnoog St. Sennans. Thanks, Breed O'Shea, for giving us your knowledge as well at the start of the show. And congratulations to Rathmore as well. Quick comment, Keith and his staff do fantastic work in St. Francis Special School. The sixth class pupils in this VE National School always look forward to their annual visit to Beaufort, and the students back there give us a huge welcome as always. Miss O'Mahony is organising a trip next June already, and best wishes to everyone over the weekend. And that is from Connor, and absolutely, and you know what, if you want to help out and do a bit of fantastic work, look up there at the St. Francis School back there in Beaufort. And great workers as well, Niamh with her big gold cup there. It's not the Sam Maguire, but it's as big as this. Myself and Mary will have to up the socks, and Ivan there as well. Thanks for all the help this evening.